everyone, and welcome to Out and About with Elaine. My name is Elaine LaRoche, and on the board here we have Mike Catanzaro, who is going to keep me on track, hopefully, and play some really cool music today. And we have in studio, oh my goodness, WARA, former news director and awesome guy who's got his HR degree, and oh my God, I'm so excited. This is Richard Luntz, and he's here to talk to us about two things, if we have time. Richard is part of a political party, and we want to talk about the upcoming elections and what that all means, and also, too, how it affects the job market. And then also, too, at 7:35, we have our own Jim Corbin calling in with the weather. So, and then we'll get to Out and About later in the show, because there's a lot of cool things that are happening this weekend. But I wanted to get right to Richard because we only have an hour and it does zoom by. So welcome and thank you for getting up so early in the morning.
Thank you, Elaine. I'm glad to be here. It's nice to be here and nice to see everybody, Mike as well. So yeah, it's great to be here.
Thank you. So let's get into it. I know the elections are coming up and boy, is there's been so much happening and everything. But can you tell me what the main differences are between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party?
There are very, differences, and they're very telling, too. I mean, when you look at the message between both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and what their message is, Donald Trump is looking at the business aspect of how he wants to operate, and he's more negative, too, as far as his message.
Right.
And Hillary is more positive in her message. But when you look at the differences, with Hillary Clinton, what you'd get is more of the same as far as business-wise. I mean, they're looking at, jobs will be overseas, the NAFTA, which was basically signed by President Clinton back in the 90s. Eventually, NAFTA was the catalyst that shipped jobs overseas. Now, you listen to Donald Trump, and he wants to, change the aspects of NAFTA and bring those jobs back from overseas to the United States and bring in more manufacturing. And that's I think, is a good thing for the country to build and, to build that piece of the economy. So those are the two clear differences of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I heard that he wanted to even tax businesses, corporations, if they chose to stay, overseas and do business overseas, because it just wasn't fair. Mm-hmm. And I agree with him on that aspect. But it's just really, this election is so different from any other election that I have ever seen in my whole lifetime. It just seems like it's more bitter. It's mm-hmm. more, it's not even based on, I want a leader. I want a strong leader. I want somebody to step forward and say, look, this is what I'm going to do, and this is my game plan. I want some leader to step forward and say, this is how I'm going to change the economy, because I'm going to do this 10-part series of X, Y, and Z, and all the way, you know what I mean? There's no clear cut. I'm tired of, those debates didn't give me any more insight into Hillary or Donald Trump. They were attacking each other constantly. And even though she has more political experience, it's not necessarily the best. He has more strong business sense than she does, but she has more political experience than he does. But there's nobody that I can look left and right and saying, okay, this is a clear definition of who I want to go with. I'm still undecided. And that, to me, is like, I think a lot of us are. I mean, people shouldn't vote for Hillary because she's going to be the first woman president. People shouldn't vote for Donald Trump because he's a hothead and people have a loose cannon and they're fearful of him. But you got a billionaire and you got a political advocate here. So it's like the most confusing time for me and a lot of people. And what is your opinion about
it? A lot of people are stressed because of this election.
Yes.
I did read a report, and I heard a report just the other day that, this about the stressfulness of the elections and how it affects people. And So basically, health-wise, people are concerned about the future of the country. So mm-hmm. that's affecting a lot of people as well. With this election, though, we have early voting, which we've never had. We've never had this in my lifetime, as far as elections. It's always been on election day itself. But now they're anticipating the numbers are going to come out on election day. So that's why they want to, they have the early voting, so they don't get into a problem where, polls close at 8 and thousands of people haven't voted yet because they're still at work or something like that,
Right.
And that's why they decided to go with this early voting thing.
Oh, well, because I wondered about that, and I agree with you, too.
And today in Attleboro, you can vote at City Hall because it began on October 24th in Massachusetts, in the Chronicle the other day, they mentioned this Saturday that you can vote at City Hall, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Early voting.
How about that?
I mean, that's part of the change. I wonder if they'll keep this in future elections, too.
Mm.
Yeah. But that's another aspect of this election that really baffles me as far as the bitterness between both sides. I mean, I look at both sides and how different they are policy-wise and political-wise. I mean, they're so far to the left and so far to the right, there's nothing in the middle.
Mm.
Yeah.
Good observation. Yeah.
And I think back to when, let's say, Ronald Reagan was president, he had people feeling great about this country. I don't see that in any of these candidates. Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. I mean, Hillary Clinton does not inspire me, and Donald Trump, he doesn't inspire me either because of what he's said during the campaign. I mean, he's been negative, he's been attacking, whether it's being nasty to women or to special needs people. It's just crazy. I mean, and shame on the political party of the Republican Party for allowing this gentleman or this man to become the nominee. I mean, they had thousands of very good qualified candidates to take that nomination, but the message that Donald Trump, I guess it resonated with people who were disenfranchised with the establishment, and that's the reason why you see Donald Trump as the nominee, because he's the anti-establishment candidate.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's the angle. Because, I mean, William Weld and Mitt Romney were governors here, and strong leaders. And I thought, my goodness, why couldn't we? I mean, like you said, there were so many great candidates. And all of America, think about this. Of all America, United States of America, there are millions of us here, strong leaders, politicians and regular folk, multimillionaires and poor, people that come from humble beginnings and really made a name for themselves, did it themselves type of thing. People that have ethics and integrity. I don't use those words on these two candidates because I don't think they have it. And like you said, with Ronald Reagan coming in, you kind of did feel better about things because he came across as strong and changed policy. And I just feel that for the last 8 years, the Democratic Party has been blocked for every policy just because the Republicans were just not focusing on the people, but they were voting against the Democrats. And that's not the way to run a country. I think it should be, it's for the people, by the people. I think people in Washington have forgotten that. So it's just going to be a very interesting campaign all around. But I think, like you were saying, people are very stressed out about this election because we don't have a strong leader. And
when I look at both parties are beholden to different people. Like the Republicans are beholden to, like the National Republican Party is beholden to the Koch brothers. And on the Democratic side, they're beholden to George Soros. Now, George Soros is another guy that's, like one of those policy people that, one of those people that, really drive the Democratic Party and to the left, like the progressive movement versus the right wing of the party, the Koch brothers. So they're invested, and so are the Koch brothers, and George Soros is invested too in the Democratic Party. So, so that's another aspect of politics that's really driving the bitterness between the two parties. And then you have the lesser known candidates such as Gary Johnson and Bill Weld and Jill Stein. Now, how are they going to affect this election, especially with Johnson and Weld? That will be an anomaly because we don't know how many votes that the Johnson and Weld ticket will get.
Mm-hmm. It'll be very interesting to see, that's for sure. But if you were a campaign manager for one of the candidates, what advice would you give the candidates?
Stay on message. Eliminate all the negativeness and the nastiness from the election, and stay on message. Have a plan. What are you going to do in the next 4 years as far as the economy? How are you going to bring these jobs? Because there's a lot of people that are out of work right now, and how are you going to affect them? I mean, what is your plan to bring allow the business aspect of companies to hire?
Mm-hmm.
And what are you going to do about health care? Are you going to eliminate Obamacare and go with more of a privatized system, where you can have competition across state lines? So I want to hear those type of plans instead of the nastiness. So eliminate the nastiness. I'd tell this to Hillary Clinton. I'd also tell this to Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well said. I think that's yeah, because we don't know what they stand for. There is no clear direction. There's just no clear direction of what you're going to do, Republican or, Democratic. And it's just really been, as we get closer and closer, it just seems that the attacks are escalating. And instead of focusing in on the issues of America, a lot of people are out of work. And it's very stressful when people are saying, I can't find a job, or the numbers keep rising. And, our country is in trouble. And I worry about my children's generation and my grandchildren's generations to come. But I'm going to hold you right there because we do have to take our first break. Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Metamorphosis, The Art of Altered Books, will be exhibited from July 30th to November 6th at the Fuller Craft Museum in Brockton. The exhibit will feature mixed media artists who carve, gouge, fold, collage, and manipulate books to transform the printed pages into a sculptural object. A partial list of exhibiting artists includes Longbin Chen, Andy Hayes, Wendy Wall, and Jacqueline Rush Lee. For more information, call the museum at 508-588-6000.
If you are experiencing an unplanned pregnancy and are unsure of what to do or where to get help, Abundant Hope Pregnancy Resource Center in Attleboro is here for you. We provide lab-quality pregnancy tests and counseling to help you plan for your future. And to those families struggling to take care of their little ones, we offer diapers, wipes, and baby food. Perhaps you are experiencing pain or grief from an abortion. We have a post-abortive healing program to help you resolve those feelings. Our services are always free and confidential. Call us at 508-455-0425.
What is that?
Oh, that? It's my time machine.
Does it work?
Sure. Just hit this button.
Whoa, dinosaurs. Cool.
Or we can go here.
Hey, that's Napoleon.
Oui.
Or we can go to the future.
Wow, hey, you have this nice house. Do I have a nice house?
No, you didn't save any money. Always spent it on vacations and stuff.
If only there was a way I could go back in time and correct that bad habit.
Yep.
Okay, the time machine is not real, but the saving thing is. Get in the habit of putting some of your money in savings each week through a 401k, savings account, or financial investments. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy tips on saving, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org. What does this crazy little button do?
Wait, no!
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
On Wednesday, November 2nd, 9th, and 16th at 6:30 p.m., Stephen J. Samerda is offering a three-session writing seminar at the Richards Memorial Library in North Attleboro. The seminar is designed to jumpstart and improve the writing of participants. Stephen J. Samerda is a successful journalist and freelance writer with more than 35 years of experience writing for newspapers, magazines, and online media. To participate in the seminar, sign up at the reference desk or call 508-699-0122.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Our number here is 508-222-1320. If you'd like to jump on the line and talk to Richard Lunt, he's my special guest here. We're talking about the elections that are coming up and the differences between the Democrats and the Republican parties, but also, too, what do they stand for? So getting back to what we were doing, I do have to tell folks that you're part of the Republican Party. You had you felt compelled to join. And can you tell us a little bit about that decision that you made? And what are you doing for the Republican Party today?
Now, when I became a Republican, I decided to become a Republican based on a few things. Their values of less taxes, a strong military, and less government intrusion. And I bought into that because I believe that this is the way the country should be run, with a strong military and a good tax structure where we can keep more of our money, and that in turn, you know, using that money to purchase products that in turn drives what business wants to do to hire people, mm-hmm. create jobs. So less taxes on the corporate side too, and I like that aspect of the Republican Party as well. Mm-hmm. Not only income taxes but corporate taxes, because that allows a stronger economy overall, stronger GDP. So that's why I became a Republican, because of those things, mm-hmm. and also less government intrusion. Not forcing people to buy health care. I think that was wrong to begin with. Even Romney Care, I think, was wrong. I mean, to force people to purchase health care. Obamacare as well. I think that's a wrong thing. That's government interfering with our lives. I mean.
Oh yeah. I know from one of my children who works as a waiter doesn't make that much money, and his wife does too. And unfortunately, they're struggling to make ends meet, but they have to pay into this Obamacare to survive. And I watch them struggle, and it's just really, really difficult. And
With my activity in the Republican Party, I support local candidates that have those values too. Local candidates running for re-election this year, like the Senate candidates and the state rep candidates that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I support. And I'll support local candidates when they're up for re-election in a year. You know, mm-hmm. the city councilors and the mayor, you know, they do a great job of keeping this city moving forward and adding growth to the city. I think it's
all good.
You know.
Yeah, I know Mayor Dumas, and he's just really been a phenomenal, such a vitality for the city. When he came on board and everything, you know, he just changed the look, the feel of the city. It's got a more vibrant beat, if you will, of the city, and doing major renovations and bringing new businesses in. I was reading that there's three businesses coming in that's going to raise the tax revenues. Certainly, this is really great. You know, he's got those young ideas, those new ideas. He's got advisors that are just really moving Attleboro forward.
Yeah, he's got a great team supporting him and doing the work that needs to be done day in and day out. And not only the business aspect, but you look at public safety. They have a great public safety, people in charge. I mean, the police and the fire chiefs, they're doing a wonderful job of keeping the city safe. And they do a great job.
They sure do. And I keep missing his fundraising event in the summertime because it seems like it falls right on the week that I'm taking my sister back to Virginia. And it's like, oh, God, I missed it again. So I'll have to reach out and say, invite me to the next political fundraising event. I'll certainly be there. So, yeah. But what do you see as an important issue in America? Like, what needs to change, would you, when you're looking at both candidates and what we're doing right now with the economy? You know, a lot of people are out of work. There's never been, I'm looking for a house right now, and I have never seen so many short sales or foreclosures in my lifetime. There's so many people in trouble. There's so many people that are walking away from homes they can't afford after losing a job or having a major setback. It worries me.
Yeah, and part of that, when you're seeing all those foreclosures, and that was an after effect of the housing bubble and the credit bubble, that we're feeling those effects. And part of that was the reason there was a bill back in the 90s allowing people with lower incomes to buy loans to purchase houses. And that ended up adding to the housing bubble and the collapse of the market because of that. And we're feeling the after effects of that.
Oh, is that what that is?
That's because it was the Community Reinvestment Act signed in by President Clinton, and part of that was the forcing the banks to give out loans to people who weren't considered creditworthy, and they weren't able to repay those loans.
Mm.
And another aspect is college loans too. People took loans to attend college, the universities, and they're having a hard time repaying those loans. But that was easy credit. But now look, everything has come to a full head, and now people can't pay their loans because they don't have a good paying job to pay off their loans. Mm-hmm. So that's another aspect of how politics has played into the economy.
Wow, that is unreal. So we'll get back into the economy. This next question will be a great lead into how will the election affect the job market that's coming up?
Well, if Hillary Clinton is elected, I think you'll see more of an expansion of the Obama administration policies. And if Donald Trump is elected, he will change that aspect and bring in more, allowing companies to hire by lowering the business rate in the U.S. I mean, currently I think it's 35%, which is probably the second highest in the world. So he wants to reduce the business tax to like 15%. So that would allow businesses to reap the rewards and build a structure where you'll see more businesses operating here in the United States instead of overseas. And that, for job-wise, I think that bodes pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the clear differences between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton, it would be more the same as far as expanding upon the Obama administration's policies with in regards to business and probably keeping NAFTA or maybe even in free trade and even expanding upon that. They tend to think globally, which is, it's okay to think globally. I mean, we all should think globally, but also, you need to look at people here at home as well. And
right.
That's what's really affecting, that's what's driving this election.
Right. Well, I think that if they do reduce the prices the tax from 33% down to the 15%, that would be more of an incentive for companies, and also to maybe put in more incentives for businesses if they do stay in the United States and not go overseas. You know, so that might be something that they could look at and maybe propose that too. But I've never, our country is in trouble. I mean, I see so many people that are not doing well financially, and there's so many job losses, and people, like I said, going out there, there's just so many people are unemployed or they're losing their homes, and it's just really been it's a tragedy. It really is a tragedy, and I feel so bad for those people. But something's got to change. Something drastic has to change, that's for sure. And hopefully they'll be able to, whoever gets in, can have some really great policymakers that will have the cooperation of both the House and the Senate to get, you know, new things.
And that's a key as well, learning how to, you know, dealing with, like, Paul Ryan or,
Paul Ryan, sure.
And another aspect of this election is who's going to take the Senate and the House. You know, that's going to be a key issue. If the Democrats take the House and the Senate, would we have gridlock if Donald Trump is president? The same thing with Hillary Clinton. If the Republicans take, you know, continue the control of the House and the Senate, will we have gridlock there as well?
Right.
So now we have to take that into consideration too.
Sure. Yeah. Have you ever thought yourself, Richard, because you're so involved with this, you're very passionate about this, and it's great that you're stepping up and really supporting the Republican Party. Would you be saying that? Would you be thinking about maybe, you know, running for office? And if so, you know, future plans maybe in the next 2 or 4 years or so? Are you thinking in the back of your head that you might want to do something like that?
I don't know if I'd love to. I mean, I like the, you know, supporting candidates, but I know I've never thought about that. And, and if I did, you know, I would start maybe local, like a city councilor, and build my way up there.
Yeah. I think you'd be great.
Yeah, or maybe even state rep someday. But
yes, I would have to
look at that and, you know, evaluate that first.
I would encourage you to do that. That would be so phenomenal. Richard, that'd be great. And by working grassroots, you know, you're building those relationships with all these wonderful people that are stepping up and being, you know, in the political arena. So you get some experience, but then also what a great networking experience for yourself.
And networking is a big part of even politics and job-wise, too. Yeah, networking is a beautiful thing. Yeah.
It is a beautiful thing. I got to hold you there because we have to take a break. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. On the flip side at 7:35, we have Jim Corbin calling in. And then we have your calls, too, at 508-222-1320. We'll be right back after these messages.
Bristol Community College will host the Veterans Expo on Saturday, November 19th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at their Fall River campus. The event will feature veteran organizations such as the Veterans Healthcare Administration and the Veterans Benefit Administration, veterans nonprofit organizations, representatives from BCC's admissions office, and several colleges and universities will also be present. The Veterans Expo is free and open to all veterans and service members in Massachusetts and Rhode Island. For more information, call BCC Veteran Educational Services at 774-357-2227.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, and, of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance so common with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy back squash.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
I want to be a rocking chair on a sunny porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be
a...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage.
And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Popular historian and speaker Dr. Gary Highlander will be back this December at Richards Memorial Library in North Attleboro for a three-part series on John Marshall and the Supreme Court. The series will take place on three consecutive Thursdays, December 1st, 8th, and 15th at 7 o'clock p.m. Justice John Marshall was the longest-serving Chief Justice and a member of the court for over 30 years. Many of his decisions are still having an effect today. Dr. Highlander's talks are popular and fill up fast, so register early. To register, email mholmes@salesinc.org.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Our number here is 508-222-1320. Before Jim Corbin calls in, I just wanted to let you know that our farmer's market last day is today. And even though I didn't win the apple pie contest, I still love going to the farmer's market. So today from 9 to 1, don't forget, you have to go. Today is your last day. Say hi to Heather for me, please. And also, too, there is a... It's an expo. It's a senior expo, but what the heck. Regis Philbin is in town. He's going to be at the Rhode Island Convention Center today. And they have many different and it's free from 9 a.m. to 5 at the Rhode Island Convention Center. You have to go down and see this. They have all kinds of different performers. They have dance classes, bingo. They have performances by Robert Black, who's been on our show as an Elvis personator. They have Frank Sinatra tribute, as well as Identity Theft by retired State Chief of Police Brendan Doherty. And there's many, many different activities and vendors. And Regis Philbin is going to have a special presentation and answer questions today at 2 p.m. So that's at the Rhode Island Convention Center today from 9 a.m. to 5. And also to the Farmers Market, 9 to 1. I want to make sure that you go down there and check it out as well. So those are some of the things. And also, too, you know, Monday is Halloween. We want you to be safe out there with the kids. Make sure that they have flashlights. And if you're riding around in a car, make sure that you take special care, because kids dart in and out. You know, kids are all excited, so they want to go see as much candy as possible. And I wanted to ask you, Richard, off the top of my head here, what was one of your childhood costumes when you were a kid? Mine was, I was dressed up as a hobo, and I had my dad's shirt, and I stuffed it with newspapers, and we burnt a part of a wine cork, and you just blacken your face for a fake beard and a funny hat and stuff like that. But how about you?
When I was a young boy, I remember... dressing up as with a Mr. Spock mask.
Oh my God, that's so cool!
Yeah, yeah, that was the best costume I think I ever had.
That is awesome.
Yeah, Mr. Spock mask
We'll have to talk. I know that Comic-Con is coming next weekend, so we'll have to talk about who's going to be down there.
Is Shatner? I wonder if Shatner's going to be down there.
I'm pretty sure he might.
He's active in that Comic-Con.
He is a riot. He is too funny, but he may be coming. And speaking of a riot and funny guy, we have Jim Corbin on. Good morning, Jim. How are you today?
Good morning, Elaine, and good morning to your guest. It's a very interesting conversation we've had so far this morning. By the way, long range, of course, is a week from this Tuesday, is the real election day, that I think. Anyway, that's another story. But anyway, the weather looks mostly dry over almost the entire country. So that might mean the people that still are voting on election day will have good weather to do that for most of the country. Maybe the parts of the Pacific Northwest. And even here in New England, over the next weekend, we're going to have a storm of rain moving out on Monday, probably, setting the stage for dry weather for election day. At least that's the way it looks right now. But in the meantime, we have a little area of sprinkles that's going through Worcester County right now, up near Milford, just barely possibly enough that might wet the ground in a few locations. Other than that, we have a pretty good day today. We're going to have sort of filtered sunshine. It's not going to be bright blue skies all day, but we're going to have temperatures warmer than they have been the last 2 days, mid to upper 50s. Winds will be out of the west-southwest tonight. Just a few scattered clouds falling down to about 50. That's it. So we're going to warm up for a little bit. And then tomorrow, a partly sunny start, and then we're going to start to cloud up. Now, if it rains of any consequence over the rest of the weekend, it will be late tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow night. But that's a good thing to some extent because it means a cool front is coming across out ahead of it with the showers. That'll set the stage for nice weather, although cool, for Halloween on Monday. So we're going to have highs on Monday, maybe not getting above 50 and probably averaging in the 40s for trick-or-treaters at that time. And then a good treat for midweek, we're going to see temperatures with mostly sunny skies Tuesday and Wednesday. Wednesday getting up into the middle 60s. So back to almost like late summer type temperature, not really technically late summer temperatures, but it'll probably feel like it after the chill we've had recently. And then it starts to get a little colder late next week, and again, that'll set the stage for perhaps some rainy weather at some point, probably Sunday of next weekend, and then again, hopefully drying out for Election Day.
Wow. So we also have to turn our clocks back on, right?
Yes. Yep. That'll mean, of course, when people jokingly say, and I jokingly say to them, we're not losing an extra hour. We're just rearranging the time it happens. So we will be a little brighter in the morning again. If you've been dreading the last week or so these dark mornings where it seems like it's not getting really light until after 7 o'clock, well, we'll go back to about a 6 o'clock sunrise. So if you're an early riser, that's good. But, of course, we'll have that earlier sunset. By the way, the sunset next Sunday, a week from tomorrow, the sunset will be about 4:45 in the afternoon.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Is there any activity in the tropics that we should be aware
of? No, there's one little area that's just east of the Yucatan, which is typical this time of the year. If they get to action, it's usually either early or late in the season. But not expected to develop too much, just bringing some rain down in Mexico there, maybe Jamaica, that area, Cayman Islands. But there is going to be a feature that's probably going to form out the Atlantic in the next week, but not likely to affect any land. It'll probably stay out in the Atlantic. So we're definitely winding down the tropical storm hurricane season.
Wow, that's great. And how about the S word, the snow word?
I'm sure you heard yesterday, the last few days we've been forecasting snow for western New England, especially the hilly terrain. And they did get snow there. Of course, most of that now has melted off in the last day or so as it has gone above freezing. But no snow yet in our forecast. We usually can go out about 2 weeks with at least some sort of reasonableness, but I don't see any snow of any consequence, at least for another 2 to 3 weeks. So so you can keep your shovels handy, but don't worry about anything too serious.
Yeah, I'll have to run to Benny's and get a snow shovel. Yep, that's right. Oh, my goodness. How about the moon? When are we going to have our... I love to have those stars, moon, and sky, so...
Yeah, well, you might have noticed in the last week or so, after sunset, when it's been clear on clear evenings, that bright object in the sky just low after the sunset, that's Venus. That'll be visible over the... matter of fact, it's going to get even brighter because the day is getting shorter, so there's more darkness for it to shine. But in terms of the moon... I think, we're not going to have any moon on Halloween. We're in a new moon right now. So, as I like to say, the new moon is no moon. You don't see it.
Oh.
But we will start to see it later next week with those mild evenings coming up next week in the evening sky just after the sun goes down, the little crescent that you see after the sun goes down. That'll be the waxing crescent. And it's the full beaver moon, yippee-yay, on the 14th of November coming up. So just a little over 2 weeks from now, we'll have a full moon coming up.
That sounds great. I'm still having trouble with my email, and I'm sorry about that. So I want you to call next Saturday if you could. That would be awesome. And the following Saturday, too, Tom Raff is going to be on November 12th show.
Yeah, I did get that message about that. But I will check in. By the way, can I just ask, Richard?
Yes.
Hi. Yeah. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Do you agree with me? I talked with this about with Tom Rafferty this week, this early voting. I don't like it. I mean, for decades we had absentee voting. We seemed to get along fine with it. People that were in the military or just had a real excuse that they knew they couldn't get this done, get it done on whenever the election day was coming up. But I brought up with him that what happens, and this was a couple of days ago, what happens in the next 2 weeks if some bombshell happens and it's, whether it's either candidate comes up and suddenly you say to yourself, oh, I think I'm going to change my mind, but I can't now. And now, and sure enough, not that it might not be a bombshell, who knows, this thing with Hillary Clinton's emails popping up again with the FBI. Now, what do you think of it? What are your thoughts of that? you know, for decades we were able to do it. I mean, I'm thinking, is it costing a little extra now, the cities and towns, to have these? I'm sure it's not the same as regular election day, but it must be costing the cities and towns to have these several days before the election for voters.
Well, yeah, I think you're right as far as with the cost aspect of city workers having to be in on even on a Saturday, at City Hall and the town hall wherever you live, being there at the polls. So yeah, that there's a cost aspect there, and I just don't like that idea of early voting. I'm a traditionalist by nature, so yeah. I like the fact that Election Day, it should be on Election Day. That's the way, that's
should run where, its course. Because people should want to vote. Know. Yeah, it should run its course, just like any other thing that people have to know about, not just necessarily voting, but having a special day where people have to make a decision. You should have to go through the process, know everything. And sure enough, everyone that's now, millions of voters that have already voted now some of them might be looking at this situation coming up. And who knows, it might be a bombshell again against Trump again coming up. Who knows the way it's been going. And it's, so I think it's, this thing about, it's going to be crowded on Election Day. For decades, we've gotten through Election Day. I think we should have elections on weekends, both Saturday and Sunday. Why we have it on a Tuesday, I'm sure there's some technical reason, but have it on weekends, where people are going to be much easier to vote. Not worry about, we got to have early voting just because we're not... Is that the only reason why they're having this early voting, because of the fact that they're afraid it's going to be too crowded at the voting booth? Is that the reason?
I never understood that reason. I mean, that's my opinion, of course, but I don't know why they decided with this early voting. I would assume that was the reason, because they anticipate the huge numbers on Election Day. Because they have there's a lot at stake, especially with the what's going on. Yeah,
we've had a lot of over the decades, as I say, big elections, and no one ever thought of having this early election. I just don't like it. But again, anyone who's now sitting there, perhaps that voted, and again, it could go either way. I'm not going either way with this. Someone that now possibly voted for, say, Hillary Clinton, and now this FBI thing gets worse. They're going to be saying to themselves, "I should have waited until Election Day," and they were coaxed into voting early because of this.
I just don't like the idea. I agree with you, Jim. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, nice talking with you, Richard. And again, I was on here for the weather, but I like to give my opinions about other things. And Elaine, again, I'll talk to you next week. Again, it looks nice and cool, dry for Halloween.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you so very much. You're awesome. Okay. I really appreciate it. And you are welcome to express your opinions anytime. You know that, my friend.
I thank you. I appreciate it, Elaine. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds great. Have a good week.
Okay.
All right. You are listening to Out and About with Elaine. My name is Elaine the Roach. We have to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Metamorphosis, the Art of Altered Books, will be exhibited from July 30th to November 6th at the Fullercraft Museum in Brockton. The exhibit will feature mixed media artists who carve, gouge, fold, collage, and manipulate books to transform the printed pages into a sculptural object. A partial list of exhibiting artists includes Longbin Chen, Andy Hayes, Wendy Wall, and Jacqueline Rush Lee. For more information, call the museum at 508-588-6000.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information.
This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt-Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Does your back hurt after a long night's sleep? Has your mattress seen better days? Is your current bedroom furniture a mixture of different furniture sets? The Bedding Center, located on Pleasant Street and proud sponsor of this radio station and high school sports, offers a wide array of mattresses along with beds, bedroom furniture, and odd-sized mattresses and box springs. You can reach them online at bedding-center.com or by phone at 508-226-8090. On Wednesday, November 2nd, 9th, and 16th at 6:30 p.m., Stephen J. Samerda is offering a three-session writing seminar at the Richards Memorial Library in North Attleboro. The seminar is designed to jumpstart and improve the writing of participants. Stephen J. Samerda is a successful journalist and freelance writer with more than 35 years of experience writing for newspapers, magazines, and online media. To participate in the seminar, sign up at the reference desk or call 508-699-0122.
Good morning, everyone. This is our last break. Our number here is 508-222-1320. We have Richard Lunt in the studio today. We were talking about what else? The election. And we also have a caller, so we'd like to welcome you to our show. Hello?
Hello. Oh, hi.
Hey.
Hi. I think that you two have done a really good, well, actually, the four of you have done a very good job this morning.
Thanks, Donna.
I think we all see things through our different filters and our different perceptions. I see different things because of mine than you do, because of the way I was raised, the work that I've done and everything. First of all, I agree with Jim about the early voting. I was going to vote a couple of days ago when I brought my son's absentee ballot over, and then all of a sudden I thought, no, there's something else going to happen. Mm-hmm. Then we have this thing with the emails and everything that appear to have come back. Again, it's not really what most people think. I have the amazing life that I'm having now where I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. So I've been watching every news thing, everything online, all of the things that you can research and everything. So my perception is Donald Trump, who has lots of businesses in other countries, is for the wealthy, and he thinks the poor people are lazy and weak. I've worked in human services for my whole life, and my main concern is always people. What's going to happen to the poor and the elderly? Hillary, who I don't like any more than I like Trump, has history of helping the poor. And now Bernie Sanders has got her in a lockdown where they've agreed on 80% of what his platform was as they built the Democrat platform for the campaign and for the election. And the input that Bernie is providing will help the poor and the elderly. And if neither of you are ever going to be elderly, then you'll be safe voting for Trump. But if you ever intend to live long enough where you might have need for help from the government, then you might consider voting for her. The housing collapse, exactly what Richard was saying, was caused by the banks. And they need more regulation. And this is another thing that Bernie was inputting. I'm going to be on with Dave this morning, and hopefully I'll be able to talk about the situation that's being very misunderood.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the new investigation by the FBI, because it's not what people think it is at all. And like I say, I don't like Trump or Hillary, but sadly those are our only choices. If we vote for anybody other than Donald Trump or Hillary, we're wasting a vote, and one or the other will get ahead. I'm not voting really for anybody this time. I'm going to be voting against Donald Trump by voting for Hillary.
Right.
I was going to vote for Bernie, but I realized that I had a totally crazy thought and belief in my mind that somehow he would be elected president, and I see that was totally erroneous and crazy. So I'm going to vote against Donald Trump and against his big business concerns and his businesses in other countries, and I'm voting against him.
All right. Well said.
And a lot of people are doing that. They're either voting anti-Hillary because of her emails or you know, breaking the law and getting away with it. A lot of people are voting anti-Hillary or anti-Trump. So
yes.
it's vice versa. And
mm-hmm.
and that this is the way the election is playing out. But to get to your point about Donald Trump and businesses, there's a lot of people out of work, as I alluded to earlier,
yes.
And that concerns people. I mean, NAFTA was a big factor of having businesses shipped overseas, and
mm-hmm.
Donald Trump wants to change that, and one of the ways to change that is rework NAFTA and lower the business rate so it entices companies to stay here in the United States and create mm-hmm. jobs here.
But I know that you're a smart, intelligent person. You know that the big businesses are really the ones that are screwing us the most. The big pharmaceutical companies, I saw a thing online the other day that shows how much the CEOs make. Mm. The cost of drugs is the highest here in our country than it is in any other country of the world. So it's the big businesses that are putting us down. But that's my perception. That's how I see it. Mm-hmm. That's how I've seen it for my whole life, observing, watching, helping people who need help. And we all have our own perceptions, you know. That's mine. You both have been very honest in how you see things, and I really admire how you did the show this morning, Elaine.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm trying to have it well balanced, and I really appreciate you calling in, Donna, more than you know.
Good to talk to you, Donna. It's been quite a while. I know we converse on Facebook on a lot of issues, but it's nice to talk to you live.
Yeah, that's fun. You can call Dave's show later on because I'll be on there with him today.
Okay.
He has a couple of guests, but in between, I'm hoping to get this in.
All right. Well said. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you very much.
Take good care, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right. Yep, there goes Donna Sprague, and she'll be on later on. We want to remind you that she'll be on Dave Kane's show from 9 to noon this morning. So, great conversation this morning. It really is about the elections and personal differences between the two candidates, but I just don't see leadership. And I think what Donna was saying is, you know, you're voting for a person so the other person couldn't get in.
And Donald Trump, he tells people what they want to hear, but what's he going to do? And then Hillary Clinton, the same thing. You know, she's telling people what they want to hear, but what is she going to do when she gets in?
Right. How are you going to
do
it?
And how are you
going to
do it? Yeah.
That's the question. How are you going to do it? Give me a game plan. You know, I want to see your platform. I want to see exactly what you're going to be doing for us. Don't give us these random speeches of America's good, America's strong, when I see a lot of foreclosures and short sales and people on the street, panhandlers, and people are really in need. The soup kitchens, even in the Attleboro area, I have a friend who does it, and they're getting more and more people in at the soup kitchens because people just are losing their jobs there. They've given up. And it's just we're in a sad state of economy right now.
Now, about a week ago, I heard that Donald Trump was at an event where he unveiled his first 100 days. They called it Trump's Contract with America. It was similar to what Newt Gingrich in the Contract of America back in 94.
Oh, yeah.
It was Trump's first 100 days in office. And what he was going to do as part of it was that reducing the business tax rate from 35% to 15%, having a strong military,
mm-hmm.
using some of that money to build that military, and also to do away with Obamacare and bring in increased competition across state lines.
I think that's great. I think that's a great
idea. But that's part of his plan, mm-hmm. and it really didn't get enough airplay because the mainstream media didn't allow it, and that's part of this election too, is how the mainstream media allows certain messages to get in and disregards some other messages.
Right, and both of us are in communications, and we know how that all works,
and
too.
And they're the gatekeepers of all the information.
Yes, they are. And who owns those radios and television stations, right? Well, Richard, I'd like to thank you for coming on this morning. You've been wonderful. And we definitely want to come back and have you talk about human resources and your position and interviewing skills and how to get from paper to interview next time.
Okay, sounds great.
Thank you. All right, folks, that wraps up our show. I'd like to thank Richard Lunt for coming in so early. I'd like to thank Mike Catanzaro for working the board, Jim Corbin, also Donna Sprague. Oh, love this girl. She's just so insightful and just so phenomenal. So, Donna, thanks for calling in. Want you to have a wonderful, happy Halloween. Don't forget those little kids. Make sure that they have little flashlights. And if you're in a car, remember, be careful because children will be running across the street to get that candy. And parents, as you know, check all that candy. Dump out those bags. So anyway, from all of us here at WARA 1320, we'd like to thank you so much for listening. Dominic will be back on Monday from 6 a.m. to 9, followed by Paul Healy from 9 to noon. We'll be back with Out and About with Elaine on Saturday from 7 to 8 a.m., and then followed by Dave Kane from 9 to noon. So from all of us here at 1320, have a great week and meet me back here next Saturday.